women speak this morning, not knowing the other woman, and one not knowing the other one. This one, the sound of voice that it was said in, and when it was interpreted in the same sound, the vowels, punctuations, just the same coming back. So you can see the unity of these people not knowing what each other is going to say, but it's the same continuity, it's the same unity because it's the same spirit. And you can see that moving in the church, different times where people will say different things and then something will happen. Maybe a song is sung that confirms what was said, or another preacher says something in another service that confirms that, or something, and all these people are not talking amongst each other, but it's the same spirit inspiring and bringing the unity.
Amen.
So it's not people, it's God.
Amen.
Now it says here, now don't get your chest stuck out. If you do, you'll flatten yourself, and the devil will take a hold of you. Just be humble. Say, oh Lord, keep me hid back. Don't never let me raise up for the time. Amen. Now we're getting into how do these gifts begin to come in. So there's a bunch of different gifts. There's a diversity of gifts, and we want to get away from the primary thinking of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There's a lot of other gifts there, right? And so we talked about helps and governments and different things. And so we have to look in wisdom, healing, miracles, all those different gifts. So they're all part of the body. Now, praying for the gifts. So we want to see more of God operating. Now, the gifts are from God, right? And they represent Jesus Christ. Now, God doesn't want us to focus on the gifts. He wants us to focus on Him. But He gave the gifts, right? So now, we want to see more of the manifestation of Jesus Christ, do we not? So are you satisfied with what you see right now? No. So we want to see more of God operate. We know that there's things in the book of Acts and in the scriptures of things operating, even in Brother Branham's time, that we want to see more of it, right? And we want to see it manifest in our day. So how do we get this to happen? Now he talks about prayer. So let me read something here from the Ministry Explained, 1956. Then when you become in the body of Christ, and there's 9 spiritual gifts, it goes in every local church body. And those are gifts that you're to pray for. To pray for the gift of speaking with tongues, or the gift of interpretation of tongues, or these other gifts that goes into the church. Pray for the gifts of healing. Pray for the gifts of miracles and so forth. That's the ones that you pray for. And the Spirit comes on and works in each local assembly in the perfecting of the church. So we're to pray for these gifts to be operating in the church. I mean, we've had different things happen. We've had, you know, different healing and deliverances and things, but we want to see more of it. Brother Branham says, you know, we have faith, but we want to see more of it happen. And so we want to pray for these things because these gifts, as remember we talked about, the purpose of the gifts is to unify the body of Christ. And so we cannot get out of here until the full unification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So these gifts are to keep the body clean. And so if there's things that are not wrong, you know, a brother or sister that, you know, has an issue or something with somebody else and, you know, it's not getting worked out, the Holy Spirit can call that out, right? And if we have the right attitude in our spirit, then we will accept that correction and then move forward. And we'll talk about that here in a second. Now, as a preacher, I'm not very much of a preacher. This is Brother Ram talking. 1958, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Lord has given a gift, a divine gift, which in the scriptures were taught that gifts and callings are without repentance. That's church gifts, not the church, the gifts in the local church, which we're to pray for, like 1 Corinthians 12. And then he goes on to talk about the fivefold ministry and things. Then in every local church, there's 9 spiritual gifts that should be operating in that church if they're a good praying congregation. So it goes back to prayer again. So, you know, the key to many things is prayer. And why prayer? Because prayer is time with the Lord. And when we pray, then we get closer to the Lord. We spend time with Him. We develop a stronger relationship with Him. And the more we pray, the less we see of this world. So prayer is a key element in our growth as a Christian and in the body of Christ. So if we want to see more of the Lord, because that's what the gifts are, then we've got to get to more prayer. You know, there's prayer that we have with the congregation, but there's individual prayer time. And so we've got to evaluate our personal life of how much time are we praying on a daily basis, because that will equal the amount of time or amount of spiritual growth that we have. So if we are wondering about our spiritual growth and why aren't these things happening, then go back to our prayer life and go back to our time with the Lord. If it's small, it's minimal, then we've got to do our best to increase that, you know. And we know there's obstacles in there, but God is looking at our heart. God is looking at us, our attitude, to do the best that we can with what we have. And so God wants us to do the best that we can. He wants us to give our best to Him. Now, this is something to bring about, because what we're trying to smooth out is our understanding of how the gifts are to work. And so this is another subject. If we weren't aware of it, and when we bring up the scripture, then you'll go, aha, I think I understand that. So healing comes by music. Did you know that? Yeah. Amen. So 1955, the great warrior David, they went on back down, and the spirit departed from Saul. He backslid and went so far away from God until the spirit had left him, and an evil spirit took his place. Come on, come on, Saul. And Saul was all moody and in a bad humor and kicking things around all out of sorts, like some people gets on Monday morning. You ever get that way on Monday morning? Call it the Monday morning blues. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He was out of sorts all the time. Did you know that's an evil spirit? That's exactly. So an evil spirit got on Saul. So they didn't. The doctors couldn't do him any good. They had a lot of doctors down there, but they couldn't help that because it was a spiritual condition. So one of the men had passed around and seen a few places. They said, well, we know where there's a divine healer at. Why, who would that be? He said, Jesse's got his son back out there. See? He's a divine healer. Sure, he was. He healed by music. So if we're in the service and it's inspiration is flowing, you can be healed by music. You can have a broken heart. You can have a sad heart, depressed heart, and God can heal you by music. Amen. So God can work in so many different avenues. We don't want to narrow God's scope of the way He works. Amen. That's what He did. He had a gift of casting out evil spirits. The Holy Ghost hadn't come in those days, so He cast them out by music, playing the words of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And it disturbed the evil spirits so much that they left Saul. Amen. Now, talking about, so there's sometimes folks will get focused on gifts rather than Jesus Christ or the giver. And so, remember, the gifts are to demonstrate the power of God and to bring us closer to Jesus Christ. And so when somebody has a gift is operating through that person, there is a human tendency to focus on that individual and say, wow, and then try to get close to that individual because of that gift, especially if it's a prophetic gift and you don't see that very often, then you have a tendency to kind of get close. But remember, we've got to be careful. That's human tendency. And so we see that, then we glorify God, and that draws us closer, increases our faith to get closer to God. Now, it says here in Hebrews chapter 6, part 2, 1957, healing don't have to be in campaigns. Healing should be in every local church. All these gifts operating, but don't go to seed on those gifts. Don't pay any attention to the gift. If God wants to use you for something, He will do it. But look after the giver. So somebody comes up here and the pastor gets inspired and inspiration strikes his heart. He lays hands on somebody that needs healing. That person's healed. We're not focusing on Brother Mike. We're focusing and glorifying God, what He did right then and there. Right? Martin Luther, once after speaking in tongues, he was asked why he didn't preach it. He said, if I preach that, my people will go after the gift instead of the giver. So he talks about that tendency. And so Martin Luther had an understanding that it wasn't time for that to take place. Although he had that gift, he had wisdom to say that if he did that, they would focus on the gift, not the giver. So many times when people see gifts operating or something, they want to make it like it's something real, holy person. It's not a holy person, it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it comes down to Jesus Christ and all of it. He's guiding the gifts, and he's a giver of the gifts, and it's all to glorify Jesus Christ. Now, here's some instructions and cautions on use of the gifts, because I believe that every child of God has some gift that operates for the benefit of the body of Christ. They fulfill a certain role that no one else can. So now we ought to listen and see how we are to handle these things that God gives us, right? And be led by the Spirit of God through it all. Now, here's question and answers 1954. Also, is it out of order for someone to stand up in church and reprove a minister for something he has said or done during service and him behind the sacred desk? All these things has been done at the tabernacle several times. Do we think that's okay? No. But it was done at the tabernacle different times. So the Branham Tabernacle was not perfect. Now, let me get to this right quick. Now, before I continue on this, you know, we make mistakes. You know, you look at your child, they make mistakes, they're learning, and they have to be taught, they have to be trained, they have to be corrected. But if they have the right attitude towards instruction, they will continue to grow. But that doesn't take away from doing the training, doing the correcting, and doing the teaching, because it's necessary. Because when you're a child, you don't know all these things, but as you grow and you're taught and you're instructed, then you realize different things and you gain experience, then you have an understanding, right? So same thing with the Branham Tabernacle. They did not know. They were ignorant of certain things, so they had to be taught. And so these things happened. And they were trying to understand the gift that they had. You understand? So he says, now let me get to this right quick. Now, this pertains to the church now. Now to you strangers in our gates, I've got to give the church a little spanking now. That has to happen once in a while. So you just kind of hold off for a minute, if you will. Listen, my children, those gifts are wonderful. Nobody knows how I appreciate you and I love you with godly love, but those gifts can be a harm to you if you don't use them in the right place. So we're talking about correctly placing those gifts according to the scriptures. Because if you'll see here, it can do a lot of damage if we use it improperly. And he says even a true gift used improperly can do a lot of damage. Look at people today, fine men out on the field praying for the sick and charging money for it. That's wrong. If a man's got faith for healing and praying for the sick, he ought to be gentleman enough to pray for people without money. Thank God. Question and answers 1954. Continuing on. Now you people that speak with tongues and has got gifts of tongues, God bless you. You're needed in this tabernacle. I want you here, but now the things in order, don't never do it while the preacher's preaching. So there's an order that takes place. If you do, you're out of order. See, you mustn't do it. So this is talking about one specific order, but God has an order for a lot of different things. And so the word lays it out, so we've got to obey the orders of God. See, you mustn't do it, for the Bible said the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet. And when a man is preaching, he's got the floor, he's got the audience, the Holy Spirit's going to speak through him. So those spirits that are operating are subject to the prophet. And the prophet, as Brother Branham explains, is a person at the sacred desk that's bringing forth the word. Now, I wanted to bring a little bit of understanding about this order, because remember the headship of Christ. Remember, God is the head of Christ, right? And Christ is the head of the church, right? Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, every man is, his head is Christ, right? And so, you know, in the marriage that the head of the woman is the man, right, in the marriage. Now, so there is an order, there's a headship order. The reason why is because God works through that pattern in order to bring about the manifestation of Christ and the guidance for the people of God. Amen. So it had to come through Christ as far as telling us who God was and express it to us. Couldn't be a bunch of people. It came through Jesus Christ, right? And so in every local body, there is a pastor that God works through as a headship of that body. Are we all in agreement there? And so because of how that man was raised and trained and how God had called that man, then he has a certain wisdom and grace upon his life and different things to hold that role. Do you understand? Has to be a God-called pastor. And so when God does something right, he does it right. Amen. He does it perfect. Amen. Total deliverance. He makes it not a 50%, but 100%. Amen. So now, when we look in 1954, question and answers, he says, we believe in church government. So you might say, wait, you know, that sounds like World Council of Churches. We believe in church government. There is a right church government. And the government is ordered of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The pastor is always the head of the church. The pastor is always, that's God's elder. In organizations, you have to come through the bishop. Now the Bible, there's no higher order in the Bible than the elder of the church. Just tell me where it said. There's no higher order in the Bible for the church than the elder, which is the pastor. He's the highest order of the Bible. So now, listen to me here for a second. So that pastor, if he is a God-called pastor, then he's yielded to God, right? And so he's following God. And so we're not seeing him, but we're seeing Jesus Christ through that individual. Do you understand? And so that person is expressing Jesus Christ and speaking the words of Jesus Christ for the people, for their benefit. Do you understand? And so that order now, so when these different gifts are coming in, remember, it has to come under headship. So now let me read something else here to kind of reinforce these points. The testimony of Jesus Christ, 1953. When the disciples went forth, the Bible said they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. I was reading a tract today. It was probably passed out in this church concerning the broken cisterns. It was a very outstanding tract. I liked it very much. It is true that we have substituted for the Holy Spirit human theology, and it does not work. It will not. So here's the difference. So you have a God-called pastor that has the Holy Ghost in them. So in essence, it is the Holy Ghost leading that congregation. Do you understand? Okay, we've got to be able to see that. So if the God-called pastor has the Holy Ghost, then that person is yielding themselves, and so that person is being led by Jesus Christ, and so the Holy Ghost is leading that congregation. You have to see that, because there's a difference between that and denominations, because the denominations take man-made government. So not God-called, not Holy Ghost filled, you understand what I'm saying? So when somebody has a gift and they're called, then they're to operate in that position. And I know that's different from human thinking, but that's the difference, because they have bishops, they have pastors and different things, but it was by man's will, not the Holy Ghost filled, not God called. We've got to see that. Do we see that? Maybe some, I hear a little quiet, so just, you know, mull on that for a little bit. If it's hard to grasp, then just, pray about it, and God will open that up, I believe. The Holy Spirit is the government of the church. So if you've got Holy Ghost-filled people from the headship on down, then it's a Holy Ghost move, it's a Holy Ghost leading the congregation. God's very simple in this. The Holy Ghost is the government of the church. To the world is foolish, but to those who believe, it's salvation. Now he says, let me look down here. Okay, now, so when, a pastor is operating in the position and they're doing the things, following the word, we know that they're God called. We know they have the Holy Ghost. That person has the Holy Ghost. And so now when you see opposition come against, then you can better identify those spirits that are coming against. They work subtly, but they come against. Now it says in Church Order 1958, don't never get yourself puffed up to a place where you know more about it than your pastor or the church that you're worshiping in. If you get to that place, then I would advise each one of you to get another place to worship with. Because I am asking the pastor never to permit anything outside of the Bible order the way we have seen it here in the church. And then we want these gifts to be operated in place and the worshipers. So remember, if those criteria are happening with the pastor, and then you have this idea that you know more, then you've got to check and see, where is that coming from? You understand? Because we're talking about unity in the body of Christ. Now, question and answer is 1961. There's a question here, and it's talking about unity. Is it ruling that a deacon or a trustee must abide in the doctrine of their church? Yes, that's right. Is it lawful for them to add or to take away of the teachings because of their own personal opinion or revelation? A deacon or a trustee should be perfectly in harmony with the doctrine of their church. So remember, we're going back to harmony, right? So the pastor, you know, he's setting forth that this is the direction of the congregation. And so, you know, if there's a misunderstanding or something, there has to be discussed. But there can't be like, I'm going to have my own opinion about this and I'm going to go this direction. Then we're breaking the unity. Now, he says this. So he goes on to talk about the example that he had in the Baptist church. And we all know that, remember, Dr. Davis was going to ordain women as ministers or deacons, something like that, in the wrong position according to Scripture. And then Brother Branham brought it up to Dr. Davis, and then they had discussion, and then Dr. Davis, you know, kind of put it aside for a little bit, and then Brother Branham, at a certain point, he had to be open about it, and so he had to confront it. And because Dr. Davis said, hey, you're going to lose your license and things, and Brother Branham said, that's fine, I'll just, you know, walk away, because he had to be in unity. He was a minister in that congregation. He had to be in unity there. So he says here also on that, he says, so therefore, if I could not stay in the Baptist church and teach Baptist doctrine and take up for Baptist belief, if I did it just because it was a church, then I'm wrong. I'm hiding something back. So we can't do that. You know, as brothers and sisters, we've got to be open. We've got to be up front, you know. And I know that human nature causes us to kind of hold things aside because it's a little bit easier. It's less confrontation. It's the easier road, you know, to not bring it up. But we've got to do these things head on, you know. And then we've all been susceptible to that, myself included, to shy away from it. But we've got to follow the Word. And the Word gives us conviction to also step forward and do that, right? So we've got to bring these. So Brother Brandon brought it up, and you know, he tells us not to hide that thing. And if I'm honest with myself, I'll go to the Baptist people, my pastor, whoever can explain it to me, and ask them for a word of life. If he can correctly show me where it's right in the Scripture and it satisfies my feeling, then I'll speak it just the way they speak it, and I'll be a Baptist. But that didn't happen, so he had to step away from that. Now, okay, so, you know, I'm trying to, you know, God's been dealing with me about this thing about unity, and so it's got to be unity in all of this. So now, 1954, question and answers. He talks about an issue in the tabernacle. And so now he's trying to hone down where the issue is because it's affecting the congregation. So now he says this. Now, Brother Neville and I just went through a great siege of going through different things and rubbing over different things and trying to find out. And I'd say this. Now, Brother Neville don't even know I'm saying, knows nothing about it. He's just sitting there. That's all. I've questioned him in the doctrine of this tabernacle, see, and see if it was right. And he's right. See, he teaches the doctrine. Now, what I'll find in the church is leading up to an answer here in one of these questions that I get, which is the only one that I know. These all in here is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Okay, I'm push over. Look them over, Brother Neville, and see if they are, if you will, and then get them back to me. So he's trying to see, talk to Brother Neville to see if there's any disagreement with Brother Neville and him about the doctrine of the church. Because he's trying to hone down that. And, you know, it can happen in the ministry. That's the first place you start and see if there's a disagreement with the leadership or in the ministry. Now, keep these things when I come down. We'll set the church in order. First thing, I got with Brother Neville to see what he believed. See if there's any contrary in our faith, in our way, or explain the Bible. There wasn't one error. So he had that discussion. They were in unity there. He went right straight to the same thing. Then if the elder and he's teaching it right, then we got to find out where the trouble's at. See? We'll get this thing straightened out. Now, one thing I find out in the church, while there's three or four strangers with us, just a little tabernacle is one thing. It's a lack of love for one another among you. So he didn't find it in the ministry, so now he sees it. It's somewhere in the congregation that there's a lack of love. And so where there's love is, there's unity, right? And so there's something in there. There's a lack of love that's holding back love to flow in the congregation. So now he has to deal with that. Now, he doesn't go on, as far as I've seen, to go on and explain what that actual issue was. But the point that we can take from this is it starts from the leadership, the headship, right? And then see, and then go on down, and then see if there's still a problem. It's somewhere in the unity. There's somewhere in the love. And he goes on to talk about the role of a pastor, minister. He says that role is there for your benefit, of course. Now, he says you've got to watch your congregation. If you're a minister or a pastor, if you see the enemy coming in, then slip right over here and say, here, just a minute. See, now that's the wrong thing, see? And then you're watching. The Bible said, take heed to the flock to feed the flock, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer over. Now, if you fail to do that, God is going to make you answer for it. So the pastor has a charge to look and see. And that's why sometimes he has to bring on these hard topics, right? And sometimes they're uncomfortable. And sometimes, you know, it's not a lot of shouting and amen, but it's something that we need, you know. We can't have shouting amen all the time. Sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we need reinforcement. Sometimes we need a little spanking and things like that. And so it's just like children. We're children of God. We need all those different things. Now, going back to the gifts, because in making sure that we are aware of some of the ways that this can go wrong. So now, in the question and answers, 1954, now what is it? Those gifts are in the world. They're in the church now. The gifts are in the church, but the poor little children get those gifts and don't have the teaching to know how to control it. So we've got to have teaching. If you miscontrol it, you'll do more damage than you will good. So we've got to understand how to let these gifts operate. He says, but you can't speak with tongues unless you have the gift of tongues. And no doubt at all, but what there's many gifts of that in the church now. There's many gifts of it over here in the Methodist church. There's many of it over here in the Baptist church. And like I said before, don't get focused on gifts of tongues and speaking of tongues, interpretation. Think of all the gifts, okay? Now he says, now there's many gifts of it over here in the Methodist church. There's many of it over here in the Baptist church. If it was only preached so the gift could go to operating. So then it's got to come forth, right? And then the people are more aware of it. You see, so when we hear more of the word and we see more of the word, then that brings us awareness and it brings us a revelation of the things that we have in Christ, right? And so when we're a child, as a young child in the message or in our belief of Jesus Christ, then we don't know, our span of understanding is this. But as we continue to move on, then we get a greater understanding, and that revelation gives us a greater confidence in our ability to walk in this Christian life. And then we do things more proper. See, you see, when you're fully an adult and you know exactly what you're doing, you feel pretty good. You feel confident, right? I mean, when you don't know what you're doing, you don't feel comfortable at all, right? But when you have confidence and you know, I know exactly what I'm doing. Like if you're on the job or you're in school and you know exactly where you're at studying and you're on the track to get an A, or you're on the job and you're doing well, and you know, you can tell when you're doing well on your job. And you know exactly the job. People ask you questions. You know how to answer the question, know how to direct things. And so you feel confident. And it's the same way with our walk as a Christian. Amen. So the more that we understand, the more that we have a revelation, the more that we've learned, then we can walk more confidently. Amen. And then we can stand against the devil when it's like, whatever, devil. You know what I mean? It doesn't bother us. And so that is the stance that God is bringing us to. So this is just a part of it, because we've got to understand what God has placed inside of us and let that be placed appropriately. You know what I mean? And so, you know, the pastor, the ministry, you know, to help bring out the scriptures so that we can see where those are at and so that we can begin to take those spots, those positions. You know, when you look at your, if we take it in the home setting, for instance, you know, the parents, the father, the mother, they've got to see that child. You know, that child is not their child, if you understand what I'm saying. That child was given to them to be responsible for and to take care of, but to lead them to Christ, because that child is Christ. Do you understand? And so that, you know, the things as a Christian, as we raise that child up, you know, we're not raising that child to be loyal to us. We're raising that child to be loyal to Christ, right? And so that child has got something inside of them that God has put there, right? We want them to come to Christ. We want them to receive the Holy Ghost. And we want them to be developed in the way that God meant them to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? God meant you and I to be a certain way. He had a vision in mind of what you would be doing. And so he wants you to fulfill that vision. And the more that you fulfill that vision, the greater confidence that you have, because you realize what you are, what you're doing, and who you are. Do you understand? You know, Brother Branham received the revelation of who he was, I believe. Because when you look in the seals, then he says, you know, that seventh angel meant more to me. And he said, you know, something about the thing that I've wondered all my life, right? And so he kind of went around and he thought about this and that, but then he realized for sure who he was. Do you understand? And so we need to come to a revelation and understanding, and the word helps us to positionally place us. But those children, we've got to let them kind of see. If they've got a gift, we've got to let them go a certain way, you know. We don't try to mold them into what we want them to be. We have to let it go in the way that God is leading them. When we see something there, do you understand what I'm saying? And so God wants that. And when we allow that, then it's like a big garden that blossoms. You know, flowers here, flowers there. They're not wilted and things, because God allows the environment for everything to reach its purpose. And amen. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, dear Father. Little by little, you're showing us more and more our inheritance in Christ, O Father. And Lord Jesus, continue to open things up to us, O Lord Jesus, and let each one of us understand what you've called us to, O Lord. We know you've called us to salvation. We know you've called us to the Holy Ghost, but we know there's a furtherance of that to come to full maturity. And so, Lord Jesus, help us, O Father, as we continue this walk. Guide us, O Lord, and let us always keep our eyes focused on you, O Lord, because you are the main event. You are the focus, O Lord, and if we focus on you, everything places exactly right. Lord, bless the service, O Lord, the song service, the preaching of the word in the congregation, O Lord. Lord Jesus, deliver, meet the needs we ask, O Lord. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. A wonderful day, brothers and sisters. Amen.